we thank you for the ministries of Jesus and for the ways in which he ministered to us as he lived among us. We thank you for the miraculous things he did that changed our lives forever. Help us as we reflect on this window and speak to us according to our spiritual needs. For the sake and glory of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, in order to understand the ministry window, we first have to go back to 740 BC and review what the prophet Isaiah said about the coming Messiah. Isaiah said in chapter 9 that the people are walking in darkness, have seen a great light. That just happens to be our call to worship for this morning. Now, first question you may have, who were the people walking in darkness? They were the people, according to Isaiah and Matthew, they were the people from the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, Zebulun was the name of Jacob's 10th son. Jacob had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. His 10th son was named Zebulun, and his descendants became the tribe of Zebulun. Now, when Moses died, Joshua took over as leader of the Israelite people, and he led the conquest into the promised land. And when all the fighting had ended and they took possession of the land, they gave the land west of the Sea of Galilee to the tribe of Zebulun. Now, if I'm standing in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, Zebulun would be located where our playground is outside that wall to my left. And that was the land that was given to the tribe of Zebulun. Now, Naphtali is the name of Jacob's 6th son, and his descendants became the tribe of Naphtali. Now, they were given the lands located north and northwest of the Sea of Galilee, which would be represented by our breezeway and our office area. And if you look at the map on the screen, by the way, we don't have the map over here because the squirrel chewed the cable. So you may have to stretch a little bit to see it. But the light blue color to the left of the Sea of Galilee, close to the top, says Zebulun. That's the land that was given to them. And Naphtali is north and northwest of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the people in those two regions were lost and desolate because of what happened in 722 BC. What happened then? The Assyrians invaded the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel. They defeated the northern armies. They conquered the Israelites. They captured those Jewish people and took them off as slaves and left the Gentiles to live in the land. And that's why the scripture says it was called Galilee of the Gentiles. It was a difficult time, a hard time for those people. Now, what makes this prophecy so meaningful is what Matthew realized. Matthew figured out that when John the Baptist was put in prison by the evil King Herod, it became a signal for Jesus to begin his ministry. So what did Jesus do? He packed up from his hometown in Nazareth and he moved 40 miles northeast to Capernaum, located on the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum is where Peter and James and John and Andrew and Matthew all lived. They became disciples. So Jesus moved to Capernaum, and when he did that, he was fulfilling the ancient prophecy that had been made by Isaiah, found in Isaiah 9, 740 years earlier. I don't know about you, but that is absolutely amazing to me. Because what that says is that Jesus became that great light that came into a lost and desolate region and communicated good news and hope and new beginnings for all of those struggling people. That didn't happen by accident. That happened by the providence and the sovereignty of Almighty God. All right, that's our background. So now we can look at our ministry window. And you may not be able to see it well, but there's a pretty good picture on your bulletin. You can look at that. We have to start down at the bottom of the window. That's where Jesus' ministry started, and at the top is where it ended. At the bottom, especially on your bulletin, you will see reeds and water. Those reeds and water represent the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. That, again, was another signal for him to begin his ministry. As you move up the window, you will see two wedding rings and two amphoras that are pouring a liquid out. And the liquid is clear at the top because it's water, and then it turns purple or bluish color as it goes into the amphora below it, and that's because it represents Jesus' miracle at the wedding at Cana, where he turned water into wine. Then if you move up a little further, about the middle of the window, you will see what looks like little dots, a lot of fish, and lots of lines representing a net. And it's a symbol of the miraculous catch of fish by the disciples. And then as you move up a little further, closer to the top, you'll see two crutches, symbols of Jesus healing people who were lame and crippled. You will also see a few more little small dots representing the eyes of fish, and those are representing the loaves and the fishes that Jesus multiplied when he fed the 5,000 and also the 4,000. And then finally, when you look at the top, you'll see palm branches, and those palm branches are symbols of Jesus making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, out of all of these ministry symbols, there is one symbol that actually summarizes the entire mission of Jesus during his three-year ministry. It's found in the very center of the window, and it's represented by the net full of fish. Everything that Jesus intended to do during his 3 years of ministry, and even beyond, all of those things were focused on catching people and bringing them into the kingdom of heaven. And just as he focused on that, we are to focus on that as well as our primary mission in life, to reach people with the good news of the gospel. Now, fishing is a big deal in our world today. Professional fishermen can make millions of dollars with sponsorships and going off to tournaments and catching lots of fish. Amateur fishermen make thousands of dollars. Even our son Chase, as inexperienced as he is as a fisherman, he told me this week that he miraculously came in either first, second, or third in 36 different fishing tournaments in our area in 2017. That's got to be a miracle. Actually, he is very talented, and he is very passionate about fishing. And that's something we know. People who love fishing, they love it more than anything else. Chase has sent us little text messages from time to time. He sent us one time, and it was, 32 degrees. He was on a lake. The sun was coming up. And he said something like, "What am I doing here? I'm freezing." But he is passionate, and many anglers are very passionate about fishing. And that raises a question. How can we become as passionate about fishing for people as we are passionate in fishing for fish? The answer is simple. We have to become as astonished as the disciples did when they made their miraculous catch of fish. We have to become as astonished with Jesus as they became when they pulled that net in full of fish. A crowd of people gathered around Jesus. He had moved to Capernaum. He was launching his ministry. And one day, he was standing on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, and he started telling people about the kingdom of God, and people started gathering around. And more people came. They heard the Master is teaching. Come and listen to it. And a crowd gathered. They began to push him back against the water's edge. Some people were probably straining to hear. crowd got quite large. Jesus looked over at Peter and James and John. They were mending their nets. They'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. And he called out to Peter, said, "Hey, Peter, would you take me out a few yards so I can speak to these people as they sort of wrap around the banks here?" Peter said, "Sure." So Jesus got in the boat and he rowed out a few yards, which is something similar to what I did years ago when we had Vacation Bible School. I got in a John boat out in Lake Loretta in order to teach the children who were standing on the banks of the lake. And unfortunately, a John boat is not very stable. And I was wearing my black robe, and the boat started going like this, and I came that close to falling in the water. I've never done it again. Won't do it again. But Jesus was in a very large and stable boat. So he stood up, and he began to preach and teach to the people as they wrapped around the little coastline there, listening to him intently as he taught them about the kingdom of God. After a little time passed, he finished his talk, and the people dispersed, and then he looked over at Peter, who was sitting in the boat still working on his nets. He said, "Hey, Peter, let's go out and fish a little bit." And Peter said, "Oh, Lord, I fished all night. I'm so tired. We didn't catch a single fish. I just want to go home and sleep." Jesus says, "Oh, come on, Peter. Let's go just out a little ways into some deeper water, and let's just give it a try." So reluctantly, Peter agreed, rowed the boat out into some deeper water. And they didn't fish with reels and rods and lures like we have today, but they would throw a net out, had some weights on the edges. The net would drop down, they would pull the string, and it would gather whatever swam into the net. Peter throws out the net. He thinks this is ridiculous, but he throws the net out. He starts pulling on the rope. All of a sudden, it gets tight. And as it curls up into a big ball, it is full, overflowing with fish. And he reaches down over the edge of the boat. He's pulling with all of his might. He can't get it. It's so heavy. He calls out to James and John, who are on the bank working on their net, "Come on out here and help me. I can't get all these fish." So they jump in their boat and they paddle out there and get on one side, and they're all pulling this net up. And Luke 5 verse 9 says that they looked up at Jesus and they were astonished at what he had done for them. And Peter looked at Jesus and he said, "My Lord, my God, get away from me, for I am a sinful man." And Jesus just smiled and looked at him and said, "Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people instead of fish." And it must have been a profound experience for all of them, because the scripture says that when they got to shore, they left their boats, their nets, all of those fish, everything, and followed Jesus. Jesus knew that the world was full of lost and desolate people who needed His good news and who needed His hope. Joe Blushteen and his brother Dan own an appliance repair business in Vineland, New Jersey. Very successful business. Back in 2014, the week of September the 8th, 2014, they gathered with some friends and went out to California to go deep sea fishing off the coast there. First day they fished, had a great time. Second day they fished, wonderful time, got the limit. Third day went out, Wednesday, September the 10th. Went out about 10 miles, caught the limit. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they're exhausted, they're tired. All the guys go into the cabin, big boat, into the cabin to sleep and to rest. Dan gets up and takes control of the boat and hits the accelerator, and they're going 12 miles an hour, headed back to the marina close to Los Angeles. And his brother Joe gets in the back of the boat, the stern area, and he decides he's going to clean the fish. So he starts cleaning the fish, and after a while, he realizes he needs some fresh, clean water. So he takes a 5-gallon bucket, He leans over the back of the stern of the boat and he throws that 5-gallon bucket down into the water. And you can imagine what happened. The boat's going 12 miles an hour. It fills up with water. 5 gallons is very heavy. And it jerked him out of the boat. He went flying into the water, under the water, came up. The boat was several yards ahead of him. And he realized that he was lost at sea. He started splashing and screaming and whistling, but his brother, Dan, couldn't hear a thing because of the roar of the motor. And here he was out in the Pacific Ocean, 10 miles from the shore, no life vest. Worst of all, no one even knew that he was in the water. In a matter of a minute or two, the boat disappeared. What was he going to do? All he could do was begin swimming. So he started swimming. He could see the shoreline. He could see the land, but 10 miles is a long way. But he started swimming. And he swam and he swam. Well, 2 hours pass. And by then, Dan pulls the boat into the marina and parks it by the pier. They all get out. And they start looking around and say, well, where's Joe? They realize that he must have fallen overboard because they see where he'd been cleaning the fish. But Joe wasn't there. Immediately they called 911, called the Coast Guard. They got back in the boat. They gunned it as fast as it would go and headed back out to try to find him. A helicopter went out with the Coast Guard. Several boats, all kinds of boats went out looking for him. And Joe is out in the middle of the Pacific, treading water, trying to swim. He has a few cramps in his legs. He's terrified. And at one point, he started praying, and he said, oh God, please save me, forgive me, help me, rescue me. And he said this, he said, God, is this how I'm going to die? And he continued to swim, and then he noticed a boat coming his direction. And he looked up and saw that boat, and he became hopeful. He started splashing and waving and screaming and whistling. And the boat turned and went a different direction. A few minutes later, he saw actually his brother Dan and their boat that they had chartered. And he saw it coming toward him, but he screamed, he hollered, did everything he could. But his brother's boat turned and went a different direction. He was feeling quite hopeless. He felt lost. And so he started contemplating what was going to happen. He started thinking about how to drown peacefully, if it would be peaceful, if it would hurt. He started thinking about his own funeral. He started wondering what his family members would feel. And he prayed this prayer, Lord, don't let my 84-year-old father have a heart attack when he hears the news about my death. He was feeling quite hopeless. And then all of a sudden, a bird flew over his head. And the bird went over his head and flew a bit, turned around and came back and went over his head again, turned around, came back. About 10 or more times that bird flew over his head, and he thought that maybe God was giving him a signal, a sign. And he found some strength and encouragement, and so he started swimming again. As he swam along, all of a sudden, a mackerel jumped out of the water on the right side of his head, jumped over his head, landed in the water on the other side, and he immediately thought it was being chased by a shark. He stopped, he got up, and he turned around in a circle looking to see if he could see fins in the water or sharks around him. He was in a state of panic. No sharks, no fins. So then, feeling a little exhausted, he just laid on his back. His ears went under the edge of the surface of the water, and he was trying to relax. But he heard a sound under the water. Listen to what he wrote. Floating on my back, with my ears in the water, talking to God, I heard the sound of dolphins clicking. I thought I was hallucinating because I didn't see them, but later found out from my brother that they were all around me in that area. I felt there were guardian angels looking out for me. Well, it got close to midnight. He had been in the water almost 7 hours. He was exhausted. His legs were cramping. He started getting cold. He knew that he might develop hypothermia. So he started swimming a little harder to try to heat up his core. And then all of a sudden he looked up and he saw a blue light and a boat coming in his direction. He started splashing and screaming and whistling and waving his arms. And all of a sudden the boat stopped and the motor was turned off, which gave him a burst of energy, and he started splashing and making as much noise as he possibly could. And then all of a sudden the boat cranked up again and started coming in his direction. And this time they had a spotlight, and that spotlight was panning across the top of the water looking for where that sound was coming from. It got closer and closer and closer, and then all of a sudden the light, that miraculous light, hit him in the eyes, and he knew that he was found and had been rescued and saved by Almighty God. Joe had been lost, but now he was found. Joe wrote this: "This was a life-changing experience for me. This truly was a miracle. God gave me the strength and the mind to survive. God gave me a second chance. My birthday is 9/2/1976, but my new birthday is 9/10/2014. Don't take life for granted. It could end in a split second. I hope whoever reads this story can benefit from my situation. Peace, Joe." Like the disciples 2,000 years ago, Joe was astonished at what Jesus did for him. The ministry's window that we have behind us here, in front of you, is not about fishing for fish. It's all about fishing for people. Everything that Jesus did throughout His 3-year ministry was intended to catch people and bring them into the kingdom. And that's what we are to be about as well. Like the desolate and lost people in the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, all of us sometimes feel desolate and lost in our own lives. But just as those people from Zebulun and Naphtali became astonished by Jesus with His miraculous light that appeared among them, just as the disciples became astonished with the miraculous catch of fish, just as Joe became astonished with his miraculous rescue, all of us can become astonished with Jesus' miraculous love and never-ending grace. Though you may feel lost at times in your lives, just trust Jesus and be astonished with Him, and you will be found. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.